Chapter 9. Film Cameras at Carlsbrook Mansion. Linda was thinking about the body on the beach. There was more evidence now, but she still felt frustrated because she still didn't really have anything concrete to tell the police, only suspicions. She didn't sleep well that night because she couldn't stop thinking about the murder, but Linda and Mark soon had an opportunity to get more evidence. There was great excitement in the village when notices appeared on the church notice board, in the local newspaper and in the tea house, announcing that a film was going to be made at Carlsbrook Mansion. The notices said that local villagers were needed for some of the scenes. Anyone interested in becoming an extra should go to the mansion on Thursday morning between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. All the young people in the village were interested in doing it. It was the summer holidays, and they had time to sit around the mansion, hoping to appear in a film. It was very exciting. Linda and Mark were very excited about this too, and thought that it was a good opportunity to observe the people at the mansion, find more evidence, and also have some fun on a film set. On Thursday morning, Mark picked Linda up at 9:30, and then they walked together up to Carlsbrook Mansion. There were a lot of villagers waiting patiently at the door. Linda and Mark were surprised when a new maid answered the door. She took them all inside to meet Cindy, who was now a very important person responsible for casting. Cindy was dressed in very expensive clothes and was certainly not a maid anymore. She introduced the villagers to the director of the new film, Edward Caravaggio. He approached the villagers, and Linda and Mark were surprised to see that it was Edward, the man responsible for the garden and stables. Julie was dressed in very expensive clothes, and she looked very young. She was sitting on the balcony drinking champagne. This scene wasn't part of the film. It was the new reality at the mansion. Obviously, Julia had the leading role in the film. Probably the price the film company paid to use the mansion for filming. Julia saw it as a good opportunity to restart her film career. Mark and Linda signed their names to be extras, and soon lots of other local people arrived. All the extras were given different times to come to the mansion the next day. Linda and Mark didn't have an opportunity to investigate anything. They said goodbye and walked out of the mansion together. At the gates, the village vicar, Reverend Adams, offered to drive them to the village. As he drove, he talked excitedly. He was happy to be an extra in a film. "It's an excellent way to meet new villagers. So few people come to the church these days," he explained. A few minutes later, they arrived at the little church of St. Matthew's, and the vicar invited them in. After a nice conversation, Mark and Linda agreed to go to the service the next Sunday. Before saying goodbye, Linda asked the vicar if he knew Mrs. Landsman. "Of course," said the vicar. "Until a few years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Landsman and all the servants from the mansion came regularly to church. The servants even brought Mrs. Landsman's dog, Fifi, to church. But after Mr. Landsman's death, everything changed at the mansion. I don't see them anymore. It's very sad," he added. Linda felt sad too. She thought about the little dead dog they had found in the rubbish bag. Was that Fifi? Mark and Linda said goodbye to the vicar and walked back to the tea house. They went inside for some tea and scones with strawberry jam. Cornwall was famous for this cream tea, as it was called, and it was very popular with the summer tourists. Some members of the film crew were also there enjoying the Cornish teas. The cameramen were friendly and began to tell Mark and Linda about the film. The story was about a rich and successful woman who comes back to her small village. Very autobiographical, thought Linda. She almost wanted to ask if there was any mention of a murdered sister or a body on a beach.